You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for South Park. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest South Park news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off and the buzz continues, it's AfterBuzz TV for South Park.
Welcome, welcome, guys. How are you this week?
I'm good.
Good. We are broadcasting from the beautiful Studio B.
On Burbank.
On Burbank in Encino, California.
In lovely Encino.
Home of the Flaming Blowjob. That sex act was invented here. Look it up on YouPorn if you need to figure out what it is.
I'm going to assume that it involves flames and a blowjob.
It's when you give a blowjob to someone who's redheaded.
Now, see, I think, Jack, now, fine, let's get into this, because Jack did miss last week's episode, which, obviously,
oh, yeah.
That was the topic. So I feel like you...
I got to say, after seeing Book of Mormon, I did get a blowjob. I took my girlfriend.
Really?
Yeah. Took
it
my girlfriend
works.
There. And
it does work.
Yeah, I was...
Wait, is it playing right now?
Yeah, it's... I mean, Book of Mormon's in... Oh, I saw New York.
Oh.
The day the Book of Mormon was announced, I just went online, got tickets. I'm like, I don't care if this is great or shit, I need to see it.
Yes.
And so, play comes out, gets best reviews, wins an untold number of Tonys, and yeah, second week it was open, I was there with my girlfriend and my parents. We all saw it.
And all three of them gave him a blowjob.
And I hope that they're all watching right now.
It's fun. I like the studio.
By the way.
But I did get some sweet dome after.
And we did talk about it. But, I did go see kind of a musical, I guess, and I concur. I think the only 1% that didn't was John.
You saw a musical? What did
Which
you,
one?
And did what was
you go
the
to,
lucky gentleman's name?
I said, did you go to Skin in Culver City? And
I did
and
not.
Watch some 17-year-old Mexican chick ride around on stage. Does that count as a musical for
boy.
You?
Oh, God, was that?
Oh, there's some weird times in Culver City.
There's some weird plays around, too.
Bro, we gotta have a bro down.
Yeah, but if you go see a musical, who knows?
So then it's agreed, any type of
that
musical
John
will
is the 1%. No, John is the 1% of guys who will not get a blowjob after a musical.
It's true.
I mean...
Well, let's take him to a musical, then.
Wait, no, if you take me to a musical, I have to give you a blowjob, as I believe
And again, the percentage...
So you would have to suck Michelle's lady penis.
I guess?
Which is actually just an enlarged clitoris.
I mean,
Michelle's like a little unicorn horn thing.
Oh, boy. I'm glad I have that image.
It's like that. And it's also like a... On the inside...
It's like the rubber nipple on a baby bottle.
Mm-hmm.
See... My problem is just the fact that you guys aren't understanding the fact that John is the 1% who can't occupy a woman, can't get a blowjob.
Why does it always devolve into this?
But he shaved today, so he looks nice.
Yeah.
He could occupy.
Yeah, and not just his face. Whoa.
Yeah.
About his lady parts.
Yes, I shaved my vagina today in order to have it occupied by the 99%.
Well, but you're supposed to be occupied.
I know, But Phil's argument here is that I'm the 1%.
Someone...
I think the central thesis to all this is fuck you, John.
I mean, that's generally the central thesis to my life.
Yeah.
Cool.
So tonight's
Glad
episode...
Glad we all agree. Anyway...
So Cartman has some serious mental issues.
Well, first and foremost, Cartman is so fat that the school's average is the worst in the country.
What is it? Fatty Tum Tums?
Fatty Bumbalatty is the first name. Then there are just a bunch of variations on that. And
everyone loves a good fat kid joke.
Yep. By the way,
it's true.
I mean, John, you're the closest, I guess, we would come to math. You're a
writer. Know math.
All right, John. How fat do you have to be? Let's say you have, you know, an average class.
Okay.
Like, how fat this fat kid have to be to bring down that average to be 1%?
Are you asking a weight
number? What you're asking me is how many standard deviations?
Yes.
From average, does a fat guy have to be?
David Foster Wallace. I read a math.
I knew what a standard deviation was when I was in high school, because I wasn't retarded, Jack.
I wasn't retarded. I just went to a Quaker school.
Oh, that's right. And they don't believe in numbers.
Someone's going to need to start occupying someone else's mouth here.
Yeah, we're going to have to start occupying your mouth with our thoughts.
Interesting. Interesting.
Didn't think I was going there.
I'm embarrassed to be alive.
Yeah.
No, I would never actually threaten you, Michelle. You're actually the best human here.
Woo!
By a lot.
Yeah.
We're horrible.
I mean, look at this piece of shit.
Oh, yeah. Fuck you.
John, okay. You had a point, though, I feel like.
I mean, I was asked a math question, and when I answered it with math terms, someone jumped down my throat.
Well, I think the point is just answer it correctly and don't go into the mumbo.
I think you would have to be 6 standard deviations from center.
Okay.
On the bell graph.
Fair enough.
Of physical fitness.
And who do you blame, Obama?
Oh, wholeheartedly.
Because you're white everything. And you're racist?
Yeah, because I'm a straight-up Tea Party guy.
But you can't blame black people because they can't get in trouble.
Yeah, they're infallible.
Unless you're in the Tea Party. Then you can blame whoever you want.
Question, can you blame
but
the gays?
Mostly black
like, who
people.
Can you, who's part of the group that you can blame?
You can still blame minorities.
I mean, you can blame whoever the hell you want.
But yeah. Just not.
Who's popular to hate nowadays?
Oh, Kim Kardashian. Everyone hates her.
Oh, yeah, it's Kim Kardashian's fault.
Fuck her fat, stupid Armenian ass.
Oh, God. You, just start on it.
I just...
Go
she
after
was rated
them.
The she was most hated celebrity above was, Charlie Sheen.
She was... Yeah, Charlie Sheen beats his wife. Like, actually beats the shit out of women.
Yeah.
And yet, Kim Kardashian is still more despicable.
Yes.
Because she got
insane.
Divorced.
No.
Even before
she
got divorced.
For 72 days.
And then not divorced.
Well, speaking to that point, here was a very good joke that I heard. The reason why they divorced after 72 days was because Kim Kardashian only knew 71 positions.
Interesting.
I doubt that.
Also, he is the first non-black guy that she's ever boned.
Yeah, that's
he was half black.
Oh, and the other racist joke I have is that the black people rejoiced upon that news.
Upon what news?
That there's a divorce.
Yeah, that girl's
on the market.
BGK.
Oh, I see.
BGK. Black Cat Kryptonite.
Oh, wow.
This term was explained to my black friend Chris. We were walking. Phil and I took a production class together in college, and we had teacher who was a thicker white woman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, thick.
Mm-hmm. She brought the percentage down.
She brought the percentage down. And we're walking, and Chris just looks at her and goes, BGK, man. Like, what? BGK, man. Black Eye Kryptonite. We see that. Done.
Well, there you go. And we all learned something today.
So what's the WGK?
I mean,
what
I don't...
Is white guy kryptonite?
If Asian women?
Glasses
and
bangs,
no, that's Jewish
I don't
guy
know.
Kryptonite.
Yeah. Skinny girls?
I mean...
No, but that doesn't... What, like...
Bangs and glasses. Bangs and glasses.
Oh, that's for a year of David Foster Wallace ass, bangs and glasses. Go to fucking Intelligentsia. I'll see you later.
Yeah, fuck you and your Zooey Deschanel and Ben Garrett playing enough bullshit, you fucking asshole.
I know.
Zooey Deschanel is getting divorced.
I know.
I just mentioned that.
That's exactly what he was just saying.
Oh, you just said that.
Yeah.
So are you upset about
that? She's back on the market.
Yeah, so obviously we're getting married next week.
I'll say, so Zooey Deschanel and Kim Kardashian are going to get together.
Oh my God! Why did you just put that in my head? I'm
just,
not going to be able to pay attention
thick,
for the rest of the show.
Thick Kardashian thighs just clapping together over
beautiful. Oh my God, you guys, remember what we said about the imagery? How I imagine
how awesome
it, and
it
you don't? How you just say
I mean,
stuff?
Well, I think this is one that Jack is definitely imagining.
Yeah, it could be.
I mean...
I imagine it looks like the underside of an octopus.
Oh my goodness.
Where you just kind of spread it and there's like a parrot beak.
So it's really funny.
Wait. All right, hold on. Let me ask you this.
About again?
Let me ask you this. I'm going to throw a friend on the bus, and no, it's not Grabo or Tyler. It's actually, John, you know this friend very well, actually.
Oh, God.
Let me ask you this. This would apply more to the guys, but did you guys ever fuck your teddy? If we're going to talk about I feel like Cartman's at that kind of almost
like
sick, perverted.
Like have sex with a stuffed animal?
God.
Or think about it.
Like in what context?
In the context that John and I have a friend. We were at 442 Chaumont Ave.
Oh, God.
And all he could say was, yeah, when I was a kid, I just, you know, we'd take family trips, and I just really wanted to get home to my teddy so I could, like, fuck it, because I was just so horny.
I like that your friend calls his teddy a him. And he didn't even, like, make it a sheet. He's like, yeah, I just want to fuck my guy bear. You know, maybe afterwards you go pick out some drapes, go to CB2, get a new couch. It would be great.
Oh, my God.
He's John's friends, too.
Wow, that's so Ew. Intense.
Actually, if this happened, it was when we were blackout drunk from playing beer poker.
That's probably true.
Oh, I only vaguely remember
this. John was crying and jerking off in the shower?
Nope, that was a different time.
Oh.
I'm glad you brought that up, Jack. I might kill you.
Wait,
tonight.
Have you guys heard of jelking?
Oh, yes! Of course we've heard of jelking.
I heard of it for the first time today.
All right, we're going to JelkCon tomorrow at the Santa Ana Civic Center.
Yep.
And for those listening, what is it?
Shut up.
Jelking is enhancing the length of your penis.
It's an workout.
By stretching it while it's like half.
But you guys, that's so not true.
Hmm?
Do you do that?
No.
Ask Melissa.
No, I mean, I
it worked on Nathan.
Phil? That can't happen again.
Can we get an AfterBuzz TV exclusive?
Coming
Who's
right
Nathan
up.
And what?
I don't
Fuck
know.
You.
AfterBuzz TV exclusive.
Never, ever say that again. Fucking disgusting. Fuck you.
We just witnessed a relationship end live on air. That is an AfterBuzz first.
You're welcome.
Fair enough.
Thank you, jelking.
Yeah. Gosh, what? I mean,
so you were jelking this morning.
Yes, I was. And then, jeez.
You fucked what, your teddy.
Red Robins. Why Red Robins?
Red Robins. I was actually watched the first 10 minutes of this at home before I came over here, and I've never been to Red Robin. Like, I know it's, you know, a pretty popular place, so I went to the website. I was like, oh, shit, there's like, a build-your-own thing. I'm like, I want to see this. And there's, like, a calorie calculator.
Oh, God.
So I click on one of the burgers, and it's, like, a base 1,500 calories. And I'm like, I want to see what I can do. So I just start clicking on every available option for toppings. And this is something you can do in the restaurant. So I got up to 43 slices of provolone cheese.
Hold
and
up.
And calculated it. And it would be a 8,000-calorie hamburger.
Hold
that
up.
You can order.
Hold up.
Oh, my God.
How big are their burgers that their base burger is 1,500 calories?
It's like
Is it like an 8-ounce beef
it's
patty?
It's like a burger, but it's burger with like all the trimmings on it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's already got like...
It's already got like mayo and... All right. Oh. I'm about to go on a tangent. The phrase aioli. The buzzword.
You know
aioli.
Who just went on a tangent about this on Twitter?
Oh, who?
Kevin Marino from the State.
Oh, Ken Marino?
Ken Marino, that's what I meant.
Oh, God, what'd he say?
What's
he just went on for like 2 days screaming like it in all caps about how aioli is just a garlic with a or
yeah,
mayo
mayonnaise.
With
it's
a
just, it's just fancy fucking mayonnaise.
That's
why
basically...
is it on everything? Jesus Christ. Every fucking piece of street food in LA has Chipotle aioli, and it always tastes like shit.
TV exclusive.
It's fucking disgusting. How much mayonnaise can you fucking eat? No wonder this country's going straight to fucking hell.
Did you know that on the low-fat, like, Subway...
By the way, if we're going to talk about white guy kryptonite, especially in...
I mean,
did you guys ever see Undercover Brother? That was white guy kryptonite, mayo.
Yeah,
God,
man,
we do love mayo.
People.
I love mayo.
So why don't you like aioli?
I like aioli, but I think it's just pretentious mayo.
You think it's pretentious mayo?
I know it's pretentious mayo.
Interesting.
What were we talking about?
South Park happened.
Cartman failed the fitness test.
Because he's a fat sack of garbage.
And becomes the 1%. and has to battle against the 99%, and they go into all sorts of tangents about class warfare, and I don't know.
And they occupy the Red Robin.
They occupy Red
Robin.
Wait,
is Red Robin on the East Coast?
Yeah, it's like a country war thing.
Okay, and it's, yeah, there's one that I know of here in Los Angeles.
Oh, there's definitely one in the Glendale Gallery.
Yeah,
that's the one I know about.
We all know about that one.
Yeah.
By the way, those of you who aren't from the Los Angeles area, if you ever wanted to take a quick trip back to the 80s, you will find no better place than the Glendale Galleria. This place is straight out of...
Pass Americana. Go past everything you think would be it.
Yeah, the Glendale Galleria is just... It's a perfect slice of 80s cheese.
You know what, though?
Heart of Glendale.
It's exactly...
It hasn't changed since the 80s.
I don't think it is in any way different than the Cambridge Galleria.
Oh, it does look like that.
It's like exactly the same.
I've been going to the Glendale Galleria forever. Nothing's changed. When I went to the Cambridge one, it freaked me out because it reminded me so much.
By the way, how funny would it be to bring her there drunk? Like, go to Boston so she has that recollection, and then you get her drunk, blackout, and she wakes up there, and you're like, what? What happened?
You're talking about me?
No, the other person that grew up in Los Angeles.
Yeah, we're going to get you blackout drunk and drop you in the Cambridge
Gallery.
That
sounds like something Phil would do.
It does. We're talking about malls. Did you know the first Apple store was in the Glendale Galleria?
Jason from the Glendale Galleria Apple store is a saint, and I will...
Like, literally?
Take a bullet for him.
What did he do?
He got me a free upgrade to Tier 4 coverage when I got water damage on my Mac. And
you probably just got him fired.
I didn't use his name. Also, it was okayed with, like...
How many Jasons do you think work there?
Probably 1,000.
Probably a lot, yeah.
Oh, because that's a common name.
Yeah. So, Carmen's a fat ass, then what happens? Occupy Red Robin.
Occupy Red Robin.
Yep.
Then we have that.
Then Cartman's complete psychotic breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Cartman's psychotic breakdown had been happening the whole time because he had already been...
True. I mean, this goes back to Mitch Connors.
Yeah.
Who's his... For those of you who are new to the series, that's the hand puppet of his. He draws the face on, who was originally Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, Jennifer Lopez.
Then turns out it was Mitch Connor, yeah.
Wow.
Yep. So Carmen's schizophrenic.
Yeah.
Is the point of this.
Yeah.
And starts murdering his toys.
He's super paranoid, but someone was trying to kill him, right?
No.
No, they were just going to have a protest of the 99.
Oh, but what about the fire?
He
did that to himself?
Yeah. One of his bizarre split personalities did that.
Yeah.
Don't you ever see United States of Tara?
Never seen
that crappy show?
Deeply, deeply disturbed.
To use the lingo of the AV Club, he was an unreliable narrator. So even though we were following
him... That's like a standard English class.
I know, but they actually used the phrase unreliable narrator in their review of tonight's episode.
Ah.
So I wanted to get them credit.
There you go. AV Club.
AV Club, you're good guys. So, yeah.
Okay,
so Occupy Wall Street. Like, what's so wrong with 1%?
I passed by those protesters today in downtown L.A. Because I was in downtown L.A. Everyone had tents and signs.
Yeah, but they're not really in Wall Street.
Well, that's the thing. The people who are protesting...
They're not in it, no.
The people who are protesting aren't poor enough that... They have to, like, the real poor, the real tragedy is that the people who are actually getting fucked are working too hard to survive to protest. So it's a bunch of...
I was trying to figure out who are the type of people that are here, and...
Remember when we were in college? That's exactly who it is.
Yeah.
It's a big... I mean, I get it.
Yeah, I agree
with the majority of the points, but it does read a little bit like the young white kid version of the old fat white people tea party.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. I mean, like...
It's
remarkably similar. They are to the tea party what Rachel Maddow is to Glenn Beck, in my opinion.
Exactly. Not quite as vocal and extreme, but still misguided.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm also going to say that I think that physical protest isn't as effective anymore. Just in passively protesting that whatever everyone's doing, meeting up. I mean, look at the digital media that we have right now. And
the most The most successful thing that Occupy Wall Street has done is get attacked by the police because it just solidifies their cause.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like the pepper spray by the NYPD officer or anything would happen to Occupy Oakland. Mm-hmm. The best thing a government could do to keep this happening is to have them cracking down the protesters be broadcast the entire world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, and speaking of the Oakland one, I heard a great joke. Like, Oakland should be happy that anyone wants to effing occupy that place.
And it's like occupying Worcester, Mass.
But you think there's an Occupy movement in Worcester?
There's gotta be.
Occupy Worcester. We are the 99%.
Do you think that could be like a real estate kind of advertisement?
Come, Occupy Oakland. And you know what's really funny about it is, again, like I don't particularly have any qualms with the movement. I would.
Are you okay?
Yeah, stop picking at your fucking heel. What are you, Achilles?
I'm sorry. It seems like their heads are in the right place, or their hearts are in the right place, and their heads need to catch up, maybe, in some sense.
Mm. Yeah,
but I was in Gainesville last weekend. Two weekends ago, I was in San Francisco. And it's just funny in all these sort of forward-thinking, progressive cities, how small the Occupy movement is.
Mm.
Because anyone who's grown up in a progressive city has seen these, has acknowledged these problems for
since the start,
40 years. I mean, this is, you know, these problems aren't new.
Mm-hmm.
I think they maybe have reached their inevitable end of badness, but
well,
like,
put.
She should have been occupying Wall Street 40 years ago.
So is Michael Moore making another documentary?
Probably.
Yeah, who cares what that fat shit has to say?
Well,
I say that as someone who actually really enjoyed Sicko.
Yes, oh my god. Flick. Yeah.
I
had
so
a traumatizing
sad.
Experience seeing Fahrenheit 9/11, so I didn't see Sicko.
Why?
My hippy-dippy aunt from Oakland actually took me to see it, having already seen it, and at every moment, every like beat he made, every point he made, would go, yes, after having already seen it.
Wow, your aunt sounds like a butthole.
You should see Sicko without her.
Yeah, I probably will.
Yeah. Eventually.
Did you guys see Capitalist Story?
Oh, yeah, I did see that. Greg got it on DVD.
Was that?
It was
the latest
Capitalism,
one.
A love story.
Oh, right, right.
Less effective. I know. I think he peaked with Bullet for Columbine.
I think
powerful.
You know, yeah, I like it when he really...
I say that as someone who loves guns.
I think he's best when he's really effing with people on a personal level.
Yeah.
Like Sacha Baron Cohen.
It just doesn't help that he's so tremendously overweight.
Yeah, it doesn't help that he's a shining example of a lot of what's wrong with
America.
Yeah, exactly. It really doesn't help.
He's a loudmouth. He's a fat loudmouth. Like,
who wants more government help?
Yeah, and he loves to take people's words out of context. Like everything that's wrong with America and the American media is in him.
He is the ugly American.
He is.
He really, really is. Well, but someone in this episode was occupying the restroom at one point.
Taking a 30-minute poop.
That's gross.
It's like Jack, almost.
Sometimes you have to take a long poop.
Oh, God. Is that what you said? That's what you think the joke was based off of? I mean, the episode was based off of that joke?
I think that was written around the occupied restroom. Yes. Because I've been on planes the past 2 weeks, and basically every time I walked up to the restroom on the plane and saw I was occupied, I'd be like, someone's occupying the restroom, which I think is what everyone
did. The funny part is you'd even go, like, were you just going to piss, or were you going to take a shit?
I mean, I would never take a shit on an airplane.
Yeah, dude, because if that airplane goes down, and the last thing I do with my life is take a shit, I will feel horrible.
Yeah.
You will feel horrible no matter what.
Like, I'm just like, well, I'm going to die, but now I'm going to be covered in shit when they find my body.
Well, ew, that's...
I would love to... We got to play a practical joke on one of our friends where we, like, you know, put a laxative in there.
Blow up a plane while they're taking a dump.
Oh, my
God. Guys. That's not where I was going, but see?
Can we get the disclaimer?
Sure. Here
the views
we go.
Expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or
John Barrett.
Yeah, John Barrett, who lives in Atwater Village, is solely responsible for these comments. Secret Service.
Yes. So, by the way, if you guys, I mean, any last points about the episode before we kind of head into the commercial?
Yeah, it was good.
I sort of like the point being made that, like, it becomes the 83% and then the 36%.
Then a bunch of 5%.
4% and a lot of 5%.
Yes, I like
that
ending.
That's America.
Everyone moved to Macaroni Grill.
Yeah, and then everyone goes to the, yes.
No, seriously, fuck that place.
Occupy Macaroni Grill, because it sucks.
Want to find out what the AfterBuzz is about?
Janice is a drama queen.
This is the divide that is going to carry the series.
Give us a call. 424-256-1729.
424-256-1729.
It's television, and they want it to be as dramatic as possible.
I mean, it's Shakespearean.
You never know what goes on behind closed doors.
Find out why AfterBuzz TV is the number one source for after-show content.
Now, in the eyes of Jimmy, Nucky is a villain.
424-256-1729.
424-256-1729.
I mean, who would you guys rather hear that from? Your husband or your best friend?
The wig!
The wig will come off.
When the TV show is over, get your AfterBuzz on.
Welcome, guys.
Yo.
I'm so glad you looked up on YouTube the South Park theme song.
Well, where else would I go?
I'm sure Viacom really appreciates their intellectual property being blasted across YouTube.
Hey, I just got it from there. I didn't actually
That's
put
true.
It there. You know, the 6 Days to Air documentary, did you guys see that?
Yeah.
All right, so have you seen it recently, or did you actually see it when it aired?
When it aired.
Oh. So when I asked, did you see the documentary if it aired that day, and you said no, you lied?
I lied.
All right. John, have you seen it?
I have not.
Michelle?
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, fair enough.
Because technically I watched it time-shifted, but...
Fair enough.
It was recorded day of.
What are you talking about?
Well, it was a documentary on how they make South Park nowadays, and it basically followed the Human Centipede.
The Human Centipede episode. And, you know, it's fascinating. Like, it's called 6 Days of Air, and it's... True. I mean, since day one, pretty much, they've been cranking these out. It's like that.
Yeah, and what was interesting, the funniest part is kind of the writer's room and the fact that, you know, I mean, the most pressure goes on them to kind of write this without, you know, everyone else is just at that point waiting around for something to happen.
I've had friends that have worked in the writer's room in South Park before, and they say it's, like, none of them last more than a season. It's an absolute pressure cooker. It is the two guys. And then you're brought in as a story consultant, essentially, like Bill Hader was for this season. Mm-hmm. And you just toss out a few jokes, but that's really it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, it was also really interesting to hear kind of Matt and Trey talk about how Trey's kind of really the director, but at the same time, he needs Matt to kind of to do what he needs to do. And really, without them, it wouldn't work. You know?
Wait, did we already establish, are they in... relationships with other people?
Jack was making up that they were gay with each other the last time we discussed it.
Three weeks ago when we talked about this, I made a joke that they were gay.
With each other.
But in life?
They're both married to Asian girls.
Oh, that's even funnier than being gay.
So being gay is funny, Michelle.
Oh, God, no. It's not funny. Fuck.
So being gay.
Oh my God.
Being gay is no laughing matter.
It would
matter.
Just be funny because they work so well together.
You know, when you're in a hole.
Let's talk about how Phil was a dick earlier this episode.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah, let's talk about how when.
All right. So, anyways, everyone's mics turns off. All right. What'd you say, Jack? I couldn't hear that.
Oh, I called you a fucking cock.
All right, excellent. anything else that we've kind of that might be some talking points for fans about
talking
the
points for fans? I think the best talking point is when John got drunk and jerked off in a shower.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's all that. I mean, that's it.
And cried.
By the way, I mean, I think in terms of
there's no more to it.
By the way, no, I'll go into that story, but I think no, this is after watching that documentary, this is what the writer's room pretty much is.
Exactly.
Just a bunch of guys like us, and I guess a girl.
Yeah.
Who's absolutely offended at every... Cause, I mean, they find, like, poop jokes and all that kind of stuff hilarious. You don't. Neither does she, I guess. But, all right, so
I mean, every TV writing room is like that. Like, it's... Like, you walk into one of these places, and it's just... The walls are covered in either note cards or whiteboards everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's just line of dialogue after line of dialogue. There's a whole wall of story ideas. I used to work in a sitcom for ABC, and the writer's room was literally just plastered with note cards.
Did you ever put note cards up just when no one was looking?
No.
Was it like
because no one gives a shit about PA?
Was it like a Goodwill Hunting thing where they would...
Yeah, right? Like no one knew it was you?
Yeah, instead of doing that, I did a lot of math, and I unlike graph paper, I just threw it in the room.
Because they didn't know math. All
right, so I once promised you guys that at the beginning of the season, I promised you guys that I would tell the John story.
I really would appreciate it if we didn't do this.
I know you would.
Yeah, I've got a girlfriend to go bang, so let's make this quick.
All right, John.
I mean, like the story's over. Like you mentioned it. Like, there's no more to it.
We can talk about it off air. How about that's a compromise? That's
Jack, so wait, summarize what you said, and I'll try to add, like, three more lines.
John cried and jerked off in the shower when he was blackout drunk.
I think I cried, but that's not...
Okay, first off, he was crying over a girl, so it's kind of okay.
that's totally okay.
And,
Phil.
No, okay. John. This is for the fans.
Yeah.
This
I
is
hate
for
him.
The
yeah.
Yeah. Well, he just throws you right under the.
He's
right.
Like, fuck you.
And to be fair to this girl whose name is Meredith.
Why are you doing this on live air?
Well, we should definitely.
This taking it a little far.
Now definitely. I get to punch you. All right, now you get to stand in front of the camera, and I get to wail on your nutsack.
All right, okay, we'll do that in Studio A next week for a special segment.
Everyone, Phil's nutsack's getting wailed on.
Leave all right,
well, whoever this girl is, she's loved. Meredith, you are absolutely loved.
I'm going to beat the shit
Jesus
out of you,
Christ.
Phil. You're going to. Like,
so anyway, we'll see everyone next
week. You're
going
into a coma, Phil. All
right, predictions. And now, how funny would it be if they made fun of John's story for South Park next week?
I predict that Phil's going to catch a hell of a beating after this episode. Oh, I also predict that Maria Menounos' book, The Evergirl's Guide to Life, will teach you how to not jerk off in the shower while crying. Did you know that on page 18, she talks about a moment in her own life when she had to jerk off in a shower while crying?
I predict that...
It's after healthy meal options.
I predict that Phil, or Michelle and I, will team up and beat Phil into a coma from which he may not recover.
And
that my underlying resentment will come to the forefront and... tonight, and we will beat Phil into a coma.
The problem
so he won't remember who we are when he wakes up.
And I predict that Jack will get away scot-free, as always.
The problem I have, and by the way, Jack's is the only live mic apart from mine.
All right.
The fact that the thing that angers me about the story is that John is just so pissed off about it, the way he acted after. Like, I would have been cool if he said, like, we just can't ever talk about this. But the manner in which he did it, it was as if we killed someone, and he's like, we say nothing to no one.
Did he do it in front of you?
No. What?
Were you, like, taking a shit while he was jerking off and crying?
No, that wasn't the problem. No. Okay. But it was...
I thought you guys were in the same room.
No, it was...
And that you were also jerking off.
No, it was like a moment... It was a moment from, like...
I'm, like, not kidding anymore.
All right, here we go. Ready? Let's get out of here. John, we hope we're taking public apologies now for John. Fans, you have brought us to this. John will take your public apologies at J. Dugan Barrett on Twitter.
Jesus Christ.
See you later.
All right, we'll be back next week. Hopefully John will, too.
I don't think so.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
Views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.